Here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. Father, bless our speaking tonight. Lord, give us something that would be helpful. Teach us something from your word, and we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading this passage, I think, in the airport the other morning, and as I read through it, and I've read this passage many, many times, I couldn't help but see that there was an awesome conversation going on here. First of all, I think it's interesting because verse number 1 says that God spoke in times past by the prophets. You know, God wants to speak to us. Those people in Haiti, God wants to speak to them. God wanted to speak to mankind. And to that end, he's always been working at that. And it says in times past, he spoke to us by the prophets. And then in verse 2, it said, and he has also in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so the highest revelation of God himself is the fact that he sent his own Son so that his Son could speak to us. And then it's interesting if we read there in verse 2 and 3 that the scripture gives us at least seven different things that are spoken of about the Son. How that he made the worlds. How that who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. He purged our sins. He sat down. He's better than angels. And he just goes on and on talking there. But the point that I got to, and as I was looking at this passage, was the fact that it says here in verse number 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time? Now, I was reading in a Bible that I do mark up a lot in, and, you know, of course, I like Facebook. Some of you don't get on Facebook, but I always see these things on Facebook where it says, somebody said such and such and such and such, never, ever at one time. You know, they will put that on there. Well, I was looking at that, and I said, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son? And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, never did he ever say to the angels, thou art my Son. He didn't say that because he was saying that to Jesus Christ, that he was the Son. And then he goes on down and talks about several other things. Actually, there are four things there in this passage of Scripture that that are recorded for us to prove his sonship. And what a great blessing that is to know of the sonship of Jesus Christ. We can listen in as the Father is telling us about his Son, all the things that he's saying to us about the Son, how that he was, that he is the heir of all things, how he is the creator, and how that he's exactly the image of God. But I noticed especially three things here in verse number 5 and 6 and then 7. First of all, he tells us about the sonship of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you why all of this is so important in just a moment. But he tells us about the sonship of Jesus Christ. That, you know, so many people believe that Jesus just began at Bethlehem. But the Bible tells us in Galatians 4:4 that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us who were under the law. So Jesus Christ always was. He is the eternal, the pre-existent one. and he's always been the son. And he's always been in that position of sonship. And several times here, look in verse 5, he says, "For under which of the angels said he at any time, 'Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.' And again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" And over in some of the other verses toward the end of the chapter, he reiterates that once again, because he wants us to know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's very important. Then in verse number 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, 'And unto the angels of God, worship him.'" So in verse 5, we have the sonship. In verse 6, we have the worship. And I think that's an important point also, because God has appointed that we worship his Son, Jesus Christ. He's appointed us that we should have an interest in the adoration of him and the exaltation of him. Now, we know that according to Philippians chapter 2, that we're to have the mind of Christ in us. And it talks about there in Philippians chapter 2 how that Christ, when he came, he humbled himself and came as a man and all of that, but said that in the end, he was exalted. And now every knee is to bow and every tongue is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, again, the sonship is important and the worship is important. But also look here in verse number 7. It says, And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness." Think about that, scepter of a ruler. Scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above," you see that, "above thy fellows." So verse 5, we have his sonship. Verse 6, we have his worship. And verse 7 through 9, we have his headship. He is the head over all things. He is the head of the angels, the Bible says. He's been given a name better than the angels. He's better than the angels. And he's the head of the kingdom. And he's the head of creation. And again, this is why this is all important, because notice, we're going to read down through the chapter. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said it at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" What a great heavenly conversation this is. I mean, when I was reading that the other morning in the airport, I just started making all kinds of notes, because I just thought, you know, every now and then we get a chance to listen in to different conversations. And we all do that. I heard on the way into church, somebody said, I inadvertently heard somebody saying, you know, we all do that. But isn't it wonderful when we can hear an awesome conversation? Here's the Father, the heavenly conversation of the Father speaking to the Son, and the Father speaking to angels, and the Father directing that this conversation be carried by the prophets to a waiting world, and then especially by his Son to the world to hear the message. "And in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he tells us all of these things. He tells us about his sonship, his worship, his headship. He tells us how he's better than angels, how he was the creator, how that he was the sustainer of the world, how that he was the revealer of God, how that he was the powerful redeemer. He tells us about his finished work. He sat down. But here's where I want to come to in chapter 2 for just a moment. Because chapter 2 says, therefore. In other words, because of all those things that he's just told us in chapter 1. Therefore. And I don't know how it is in your Bible, but my Bible, and I think it was there just for me, says we, and it's all capitals. I don't know why. Maybe your Bible doesn't have that. But it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, this heavenly conversation, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, if that conversation up there in heaven was important for the Father, the Son, and for the angels, and for the prophets, and for us who hear it, he's saying it's important. It's an important message. Now, my message tonight is this: sharing the heavenly conversation. I wish you could have seen these young ladies sharing this heavenly conversation. Because even using the puppets and even giving their testimonies over there, they were talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why do we do that? Well, the Bible says in John 17:3, to know Him, the only true God, is eternal life. And these kids and these people need eternal life. And for that reason, we must share this heavenly conversation. I wish you could have seen them going through the message of salvation. Ransom had prepared some transcripts for these puppets and the messages in those puppet messages were so clear about the gospel for these young people. And they first, I think we went to three different schools, and each day they got up and did these messages in these schools for these young people. And the last day, I think Alicia had been a little bit hesitant about, you know, doing it. And finally, Alicia Collins said, I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to go do it. She kind of pushed her into it. And they went up, and it was a school with older children, old young people, I guess even some older than Alicia. And so their peers. But they boldly went up and told them the conversation, the heavenly conversation. They shared with them that Jesus is the Son of God, the only hope for eternal life, the Redeemer, that He's finished the work on the cross of Calvary. And they told this message that He's the Creator and that He brings forgiveness and that He wants to change their lives by their believing upon Him. And I thought, even as the pastor was preaching this morning, and I appreciated his message so much, as he was going through Ezekiel there, talking about how that they were carried away and put in the midst of a valley, or Ezekiel was carried away and put in the midst of a valley of dry bones, I said, that's where we were. We were put down in the midst of a valley of dry bones. But we were there for a purpose. Just like Ezekiel was told to preach to the bones, well, these young people this week had the opportunity to speak, to share the heavenly conversation and tell these people about Jesus Christ. I remember, I think it was on Sunday night when Whitney got up and gave her testimony to the Patmos Baptist Church in Delmas 33 and told about her getting saved. And, you know, they were speaking through a translator. By the way, that young lady can speak a little bit of Creole, and she did good. But she gave her testimony about how Jesus Christ saved her and is her hope. She was sharing the heavenly testimony, the heavenly story, the heavenly conversation. Well, verse 1 of chapter 2 says, therefore, because of that conversation, and because the message has been given to us, and because Jesus Christ is better than angels, and because he's our Redeemer, then because he's the Son, and because he's to be worshipped, and because he's the head of the kingdom and the head of creation, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, our minds are kind of like leaky vessels. And because of natural corruption in our lives, because of temptation, because of worldly care, because of the pleasures of this world, what we know leaks out, seems like. Alicia Collins spoke about the passion that we need to maintain. Somehow that leaks out of us. We know what Jesus Christ did for us. We know how blessed we are that we're saved, but sometimes it leaks out. And so we have to give the more earnest heed to what we have heard. And look in verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So great a salvation. That's what these young people, that's what we were testifying of this week, having a great opportunity to and be blessed with every single day to be able to go out and talk to people about the Lord, not only about their deliverance from hell and from death. As you know, yesterday was the third anniversary for that terrible earthquake on January 12th of 2010. And we were able to speak to people several times through the week. We were riding somewhere down near the palace that has been in so many of the pictures that just crumbled when the earthquake came. And one of the young men with us, Jerry, said, I was in a school over here when the earthquake, when that came. You know, not just telling people you can be delivered from hell and death, but the blessing of the life that we can have in Jesus Christ. And these young ladies and Joel and my wife and I and these other that were with us were able to exemplify that. We were talking to Brother Pat before the service today, and we were talking about, even though we don't speak the language, even though, you know, people ask me, do you speak Creole? And I say, Topeekski, because that's all I know. It means a little bit. I may even be saying that wrong. Don't correct me there on that. But anyway, what we can do is speak, put an arm around them, give them a hug, show them the love of Christ, and that speaks volumes to them. And they know. Now, we do have to witness to them, and we do witness and give the message through interpreters. But God's grace and His forgiveness that we have in our life, the forgiveness of sins and the promise of heaven. Over here in chapter 2 and verse number 10, it says that it became Him, Jesus Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And I'll tell you what a blessing it was to see people hearing the message of the heavenly conversation shared by these young people with a passion. And they've come back with a passion. And I'll say to them, don't let it leak out of you. I'll say to us tonight, let's get passionate about sharing the heavenly conversation, the sonship of Jesus Christ, the worship of Christ, and the headship of Christ. He's head of His kingdom, head of the church. And what a great blessing we have to be a part of it. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have a message to tell to the nations. And I'm so thankful for the help that we have from Beacon Baptist Church to carry that message in our missionary ministry. So thankful to be that you folks love the Maggards and help us and help us to do the work that God's called us to do, and help so many others who are part of our missionary family. And then when we have these missionary opportunities to go, and who knows what God will do in the lives of the people that are ministered to and in the lives of those who go to minister. And so that's our prayer, that it would continue.
Father, again, we thank you. We are so grateful, Lord, every time that we get to look unto the fields that are wide unto harvest. We are grateful for the privilege and the opportunity of being a part of your work, advancing your kingdom, Lord, and reaching souls and bringing many sons to glory. We are thankful, Lord, for our missionaries, the Maggards, and all the ones that we are blessed to serve and be a blessing to. Lord, we pray for these dear people so close to our own area of life, and I pray, God, that you'll help us to continue in every way possible, both here and there, to minister to those who need the gospel. From Haiti, I pray, Father, that we'll be faithful missionaries, as Alicia said, here in our Jerusalem, here in Jupiter, Jupiter Farms, Port St. Lucie and Fort Pearson and Wellington, Lord, and all in this region, in this area. Help us to be faithful. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Fellowship. It's a good time. Fellowship. God bless you. You're dismissed.